Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Greetings, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to Radio Free Redoubt, the weekly podcast. Not Sunday, it is Monday as I'm recording this. So thank you guys all for your patience. As many of you know, if you've been listening to the morning commute, Lady Liberty and I got a second bout of COVID, and thank God for natural immunity. The first time we got it, about a year and a half ago, it was about 30 days that it had hit us pretty hard. But this time around, about a week. So now we're on the mend, doing good, and feeling strong again. So thank you guys for your patience once again. And now, please remember, there's some people to lift up in your prayers right now. The folks in Nashville, unbelievable. A female goes into a Christian school. All right, guys, I'm breaking in here to the podcast. I just completed it and uploaded it, and then I came across some new updated information. The earlier reports that were indicating that it was a black female who entered into the school and shot three students and three teachers before being killed by police. Well, new information, just as I was finishing up the show and uploading it, this came out now, where on police frequency, they've got a picture of the individual, and it is Aiden Hale, previously known as Audrey Hale. Why would somebody be previously known as Aiden when they were previously known as Audrey? Now they're known as Aiden, and this is a female. Well, this is a tranny. According to other reports that I've gotten, this Audrey Hale, the supposed school shooter, a 28-year-old male identifying as a female. Of course, everyone in the media is being tight-lipped about it because it involves someone from the LGBTQ community, and this was involving a church and a church school. So here's multiple pictures of this boy wearing lipstick with long hair, trying to look like a girl with glasses on, holding an AK-47, and various different stages of looking like a boy and looking like a girl. And so more information is coming out on this. So that's what we know right now. I just wanted to quickly correct that. Early reports that I had received indicated it was a black female. This is not. This is a white male who's calling himself a girl, changing his name, and this is what's being scrubbed from the internet. So anyway, I will resume this story now that you have that updated information. We'll bring more throughout the week as we learn it. And shoots it up with AK-47s. Apparently, she had two AK-47s and a handgun. She was killed by police, but not before killing three elementary school kids at this Christian school and three teachers, three staff members. So that is a hurting community right now. Lift them up in your prayers. Of course, drooling Biden wasted no time calling for Congress to renew the assault weapons ban. And of course, our response to that is, I don't think so. Not at this time when the world is becoming increasingly precarious, increasingly violent. And I can share this news flash with you. 30 million gun owners killed no one yesterday. And those of us across the country who own one of tens of millions of what they call assault weapons, really combat rifles, semi-automatic combat rifles, have committed absolutely no crimes with them and no intentions of committing any crimes with them. And at a time when the thin veneer of humanity is stripping off of our culture, this is not the time to disarm yourself. This is quite the opposite. If ever there was a time for you to arm yourself heavily, now is the time, because this is not a temporary trend where this violence is just going to be this thing that happened for a few years and then goes away. So we have nations that are planning on invading and attacking us. We have civility going away and a rush headlong away from our Christian roots and principles. The violence is just going to increase. So no, absolutely not. And it's not the Republicans' fault that this shooting happened. It's not conservative. It's not gun owners' faults. The law-abiding gun owners out there who have hurt no one, but are prepared to defend life, are not to have this placed on them. The person that's guilty of this is the hate-filled, demented psychopath who went into a elementary school to shoot school children. That's the person that's solely responsible for this. And besides that, I'm not going to be lectured. None of us are going to be lectured by somebody sitting in the White House on us having the means of defending ourselves, which, by the way, the shooter was shot dead. The shooter was taken out by someone with a firearm. In this case, it was the police. But there are a million cases a year where somebody used a firearm to defend themselves, to either discharge the firearm in response to a vicious attack, or as a deterrent to deter crimes. So to get lectured by somebody who refuses to protect our border, resulting in 100,000 deaths a year just from fentanyl, not to mention all the sexual exploitation and all of the other crime that goes along with having a wide open border. That individual there has got the blood of 100,000 people on his hands for refusing to protect our borders. So anyway, in today's podcast this week, I'm just going to do two segments. I'm going to do the news and commentary. And then in segment two, I want to talk about the tornadoes that went through Louisiana, Missouri, and Tennessee. Specifically, I want to focus on Missouri because of some of the lessons learned there. We have some folks that are working with relief organizations and individuals on the ground. We have some folks that are going to the area to help provide relief, and they are radio operators, but that's not what they're primarily going there for. But there are some lessons to be learned. So I'm going to talk about that in segment two, and then it'll just be a short podcast, but I wanted to put something out this week because there's just so much going on. And also today, at least two more train derailments. One, a runaway train that derailed, peaked out at 80 miles per hour. The crew bailed and the train ended up derailing. But another one with a hazmat situation up north, north central United States. And I just saw that. I saw the headline. I just thought I'd throw it out there. I don't have all of the details, but with the high number of Chinese nationals, military-aged Chinese, that are being found to be crossing our southern border, knowing that China is planning on armed conflict with the United States, you would have to actually be a total idiot to not think that they wouldn't consider placing saboteurs ahead of military conflict with the United States. I mean, according to General Che Heoshin, they plan on colonizing North America, the United States and Canada specifically, and Australia, but in that order, the United States and then Canada and then Australia. So this is part of a long-term strategy, and I'm referring to a retired general that spoke to the top-level Chinese in one of their strategy forums, 20 years ago, laying out the long-term plan. And it was very clear that the recommendation there was to colonize the United States, to add more living space for the much superior race, the Chinese. His words. So, without further ado, let's get into the news and commentary. The news and commentary brought to you by Prepping 2.0, helping to take your preps to the next level. And the website is prepping2-0.com. Very interesting headlines from Yahoo News. Ukraine, the latest out of Ukraine. Russia says drone strikes are taking place in a town south of Moscow. Now, these are Ukrainians carrying out drone strikes. But then this other article from Forbes comes up that Russia is bracing for an attack by 50,000 Ukrainian kamikaze drones. And so the Russian military is seeking shotguns for taking out these drones. And they better invest in some skeet, trap and skeet practice. But yeah, that would be ineffective until they come up with a some type of electronic weapon, almost like a portable EMP device. Shotguns are probably the most practical and low-tech solution to that, and that's what the Russians are looking at. Something to keep in mind. Maybe get some number four birdshot, start stocking up on that. Be great for taking out drones before they reach their target. And speaking of Russia, there's something that's got the international community all in an uproar. Putin says that Moscow will be stationing tactical nuclear weapons in Belarus. And this is coming from the TASS news agency. And Putin says the placing of nuclear weapons in Belarus will not violate nuclear non-proliferation agreements. They've moved 10 aircraft to Belarus that are capable of carrying tactical nuclear weapons. And Putin says, we're not transferring our nuclear weapons to Belarus, but we'll station them there like the United States does in Europe. So I suppose if that's what NATO is doing, you'd expect Russia to do it. And it's really, I don't think anything to be overly spun up about. I don't think that escalates things any more than what NATO is doing to escalate conflict with them. But anyway, this got a lot of folks really buzzing about that. But I think that there are other things that pose a bigger threat. It's not a big secret that they have tactical nuclear weapons. But anyway, let's move on. From Rare Foundation, rejection of globalism. Hungary and Italy have passed laws to protect their citizens from insect use in food. Good for them. Hungary has enacted stricter rules against the clandestine insectification of foods. The Minister of Agriculture announced on his social media site that they're now requiring foods containing insect proteins to carry the label, warning, food containing insect proteins and must be displayed separately from other products. The minister stressed that the government wants to protect Hungarian consumers from foods containing insect protein authorized by Brussels in the European Union through strict product labeling and segregation rules. I love it. By the way, Hungary was the only member state not to support the European Union's intention to allow insects to be marketed as food and food ingredients in the EU. Italy has banned insect flour from its pasta, according to The Times. The growing use in cooking of flour made from crickets, locusts, and insect larvae has met fierce opposition in Italy, where the government is to ban its use in pizza and pasta and segregate it on the supermarket shelves. This is just driving the globalists nuts, but good to see it. From 100% fed up, a Florida doctor has been stripped of his board certification by the American Board of Family Medicine for treating over 3,000 of his COVID-19 patients with ivermectin. Seriously. Dr. John Littell, a family physician and U.S. Army veteran, has been a certified member of the ABFM since 1990. As of March 16, 2023, Littell's certification has been rescinded due to his alleged spread of COVID-related health misinformation. Unbelievable. Well, here's the litmus test. How many of his patients, of his 3,000 patients, have died from ivermectin? And let's compare that to how many people have died from COVID who were denied ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or any of these other proven methods. So good on him. And this board is participating not in misinformation, but disinformation, intentionally intended to deceive the public. That's disinformation, because it's irrefutable now what we've learned about COVID and treatments that the mainstream conventional wisdom for treating it has led to way more deaths than these other methods that are approved and recommended by doctors, virologists, the ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and zinc and these other things. People aren't dying from that. They're not dying from these treatments of ivermectin, but they are dying from COVID. As soon as they ram that respirator down their throat, and then, well, we know the truth, but they still want to call it misinformation. Well, like I said, it goes back to the litmus test. How many of his patients died from ivermectin? Or how many of his patients died from COVID? I would wager zero. I'll bet it was zero. From Slay News, 2/3 of Americans believe the FBI has become weaponized, according to a poll. The vast majority of Americans believe that the Federal Bureau of Investigation has become a partisan weapon of the Washington, D.C. establishment, a new poll has revealed. A staggering 2/3 of U.S. voters say the FBI has been weaponized, starting from the top in Washington, according to the poll by Rasmussen. Well, what that shows us is that 1/3 of Americans are still duped. From the Babylon Bee, I love this. The Babylon Bee. Of course, those of you who know, Babylon Bee is satire, but they have just a knack for nailing the truth of matters through satire. And this is the headline. "This is just like Nazi Germany," cries a liberal as parents remove porn from elementary schools. And that's how they're acting too. This parental rights bill that the House of Representatives passed, probably won't pass the Senate, but it passed in the House of Representatives, giving parents the right to know what curriculum is in their libraries and in their schools. And the left just absolutely spun out over this, saying that this is, who was it? Schumer. Schumer says, this is draconian and Orwellian. It's going to lead to harming of children. By not having homosexual, transgender pornography in their school curriculum and in their books and in the libraries, this is going to harm them. No, this places the rights of parents where it should be, in their hands. Sadly, this probably won't pass the Senate. And so, you know, we're just back to relying on states, which is where this should be taking place anyway, for ensuring parents writes, "You guys know the January 6th prison choir featuring President Trump is on hit number one on iTunes and all the others. President Trump mentioned this on, when was it, Saturday in Texas for his first rally for his 2024 presidential campaign. But what a beautiful thing to listen to. They had, when you go to this January 6th prison choir website, they had a vinyl record of this. It's the national anthem sung by the January 6th prisoners, interwoven with President Trump stating the Pledge of Allegiance. And very well done. They completely sold out of that. It was $99 for that. They are completely sold out. So now they've introduced three new additional vinyl records. Various. There's the red, the white, and the blue. The black is sold out, and that money goes towards supporting the families of the J6 prisoners. So check that out when you get a chance. It's something worthy of our support. I love how the left is just worked up over this. About, do you think it's appropriate that the president is, you know, seen supporting those who attacked the Capitol? No, the people who attacked the Capitol are those who were involved in the coup and in the cover-up of the coup. And as we've seen, the people who carried out the violence on January 6th, they're all feds. This is why two-thirds of the people believe that the federal government, law enforcement, the FBI, has been weaponized against the people. Because they see through it. They see through the lies. Anyway, we'll be back with segment two. We'll talk about the tornadoes, communications, and lessons learned when we come back. Stay right there.
There's wars and rumors of wars. 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 Wars and rumors of wars.
Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more. Welcome back, Patriots, to segment two of a two-segment weekly podcast where this week I want to talk about some of the lessons learned and some of our observations related to the tornadoes, the devastating tornadoes that went through primarily Mississippi this week. And I hope I didn't say Missouri in segment one. I meant to say Mississippi. But one of the things, too, that we are watching very closely, I didn't mention in the news and commentary, is what's happening in Israel right now. This is incredible what's going on. They're on the edge of a civil war. And Benjamin Netanyahu is pushing for reform with the courts, because the courts have gotten to the point where the liberal courts are voting in their own justices now. This is never supposed to happen. Can you imagine if the U.S. Supreme Court was able to just vote in their own justices, whoever they wanted to have on the Supreme Court? Well, Benjamin Netanyahu is addressing this. Well, the left, or the Soros backed deep state globalist types, are revolting. And so the conservatives have poured out by the thousands in support of this court reform and in support of President or Benjamin Netanyahu. And so these clashes continue. Now, the Palestinians, and this is Amir Sarfati picked up on this. He's reporting from Tel Aviv. And apparently, in the rumor mill among the Arabs, where some people are thinking this would be a perfect time to strike because Israel's divided, but they're saying actually no, that the Arabs are generally thinking, let's not attack Israel right now, because the Iranians are, they're poised for it. They're ready for it. That could cause a unification if they're attacked from the outside. So they're happy to see Israel just tearing itself apart from the inside. So word on the street is the Arabs are saying no attacks on Israel right now. Let's just let them fight it out. And you really have, when you look at the left, those are opposing Benjamin Netanyahu. They're flying all the LGBTQ transgender flags and Israeli flags, but these are your deep state globalist leftist Antifa types that are being stirred up with propaganda and signs and messaging that's funded by people from like Soros from the outside. And the leftist, you know, bankers and business people that are on the far left, just like in the United States where we have the deep state, just like you see in the European Union, you have conservatives, people who want to hold to European values and their heritage. They're up against globalists and World Economic Forum types. And so this is the world over right now. And someone was saying, you know, you should change your view on Netanyahu and Israel. I'm like, no, I don't think so. Because when you look to see who's backing whom, that tells you right there what side you should be on, what side of the issue. Have some discernment and look at who's backing which side. And the enemies that they're facing there that are working to destroy their country from within are the same enemies that we have trying to destroy America and those that are trying to destroy the UK or the rest of the European Union. The globalist, communist, Leninist types that are backed by Soros and other leftist, globalist, World Economic Forum money should tell you what side of the issue to be on. Who's telling you that climate change is going to destroy us all? Who's telling you that men can become women and women can be men and men should be able to dress with lipstick and dresses and have your child sit on their lap while they read them a homosexual book? Which side has which narrative? And then that's how you know what side of an issue to be on. It's pretty straightforward. Anyway, let me move on and let's talk about Mississippi, Alabama, no, Louisiana, Mississippi, and the southern part of Tennessee, where a series of devastating tornadoes took out a swath, unprecedented, like 150 to 170 miles long. Entire communities are wiped out. Now, we've got a couple of Amron Corps members who are in contact with people on the ground and they're asking for help. One is in Rolling Fork. That's what's been on the news. I've got an Amron Corps operator with close family, with close friends who have family. One in particular, the mother's home was completely wiped out. The whole town's wiped out. There's no police department. There's no city hall. I mean, it's leveled. It's just a pile of toothpicks now. So they're asking for help with chainsaws, there's a whole list of items. If you are close to the area and you can go and help, they're asking for help. They need boots on the ground. The Cajun Navy is there now, but there's two different communities that I'm getting reports from. One is Rolling Fork, and the other one about 45 minutes to the north is Leland, Mississippi. Leland, Mississippi is where there's another group, And that is head by Bear Independent. He's got a YouTube channel, Christian guy, that has Grindstone Ministries. And they respond to disasters, much like the Cajun Navy. They're asking for help as well. Now, if you are close to one of these areas and you want to help, I can put you in touch. Just email me, johnjacob@amron.com or johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com, and I will get you in touch with the folks in Rolling Fork. If you want to, on your own, reach out to the folks at Grindstone Ministries or Bear Independent on YouTube. You can watch their YouTube videos that they're uploading from there. So let's talk about communications. So far, what we've been able to find is that there are no ham operators on the air. And they've been tuning around. Not to say there are not ham operators on the air. It could be that the folks that are on the ground there don't know where to look or where to tune. I don't know what type of equipment that they have on the ground. But all reports are that they've had a very difficult time locating people on the air on the ham radio frequencies. Also, in these communities now, they've began setting up checkpoints so that you can't get into these areas in this restricted. I know in up north in Rolling Fork, if you don't live there, they're not letting you in. So there, I've got a few phone numbers here from people from the group The Republic. And if you contact them by phone, they can meet you at a checkpoint and then escort you in. But otherwise, there's no way to get in there, and they need people badly. There is reportedly and predictably huge issues with organization and jurisdictional conflicts and FEMA and the state and the county, and nobody knows who's in charge. And it's a mess, just like we've seen with every other disaster. But communication seems to be a huge part of this. Now, I watched the latest, as of this date, the latest YouTube video that was uploaded by Bear at Bear Independent. That's the YouTube channel. And they're there with a crew of people. And he's saying, communications, communications, communications. You got to have it. Well, it seems that they're able to upload through their cell phone data to upload the YouTube videos. But that's just part of it. In these communities, these cell phone towers have been completely wiped out. FEMA has brought in Rolling Fork, they brought in a portable cell phone tower. But they're completely grid down there in that town. So all of the people are trying to use this cell phone tower. So service is really sketchy. And even worse is the data, trying to get messages out and trying to make phone calls and trying to use any type of data to access the internet is really, really sketchy. So Bear from Bear Independent YouTube channel was talking about how important communications are, and there's very little of it in the area. And he made a note of something, that there are people walking around with radios. He's at a National Guard armory. They do have some law enforcement there and fire and other search and rescue. They'll have radios, but he says none of them are using them. And I suspect the reason why is because the repeaters are taken out. The repeaters sitting on top of water towers and tall buildings, they're wiped out. These radio systems that public services use completely depend on repeaters. So I would recommend, first of all, if you do not know of ham operators in your community, then get your license. Start getting plugged in and start becoming proficient with these radios. If you work in public service, then it's a very simple solution. Whether you're a ham or not, I would strongly recommend incorporating field portable repeaters, something you can connect a small handheld to and put it up on a high point or string it up into a tree to give you repeater coverage, even if it's just a simplex repeater, where it records, say, 30 seconds of your voice, and as soon as you release the push-to-talk button, it plays back what you're saying and transmits that over your simplex repeater handheld radio that's you have strung up into a tree or climbed up to a tower or put on top of a building or something like that. There is no repeater coverage. All of these radios are programmed to use repeaters. So if you're in public service, you need to add a channel to all of your radios that operate on the output frequency of your repeater to operate as simplex. So if your repeaters are taken out, everybody can still communicate simplex. So on the ground, you'll have limited coverage, but so what? If you can talk 3 to 5 to 7 miles from your car, that's better than not being able to talk to anyone, even a block away, because your radios are set up for using repeaters only. On the ground there, they reported that everybody being grid down, a guy connected his house to his generator. The house caught on fire. They're suspecting an electrical short. So now they have a house fire and no way to dispatch fire departments there because nobody has radios. So strategically placed, you know, radio operators, even if they're just ham operators, needs to be incorporated into these communities. This is a very rural community. They don't seem to have a county EOC or any type of NTS, National Traffic System radio set up as far as emergency communications at the official level. So they're relying on the state, which are, you know, bringing in mobile cell phone towers, which everybody's trying to use. So then you may or may not be able to make a call. And Bear really, he said, you got to have radio, you got to have communications. Emphasize that, you know, right up there at the top, along with logistics. So in your community, get involved, get your ham license, have a portable repeater that you can deploy at a high point, even if it means stringing it up into a tree to give you an extra couple of miles of coverage, and start networking and building up your network of radio operators in your area. Because right now, this seems like a dead zone. And those with communications, with radios on their hips, are not using them. Like Bear said, the reason why they're not using them is because they don't have repeaters that are functional in their area, which means nobody thought to program the output frequencies of the repeaters into their radios as a simplex frequency. So anyway, these are just a couple of observations. First things that come to mind, more information is coming in. And as I'm able to assess that, there will certainly be more lessons learned. And we'll put that in a report. We'll hopefully be able to solicit some reports. We have an Ameron core operator that's on his way to Leland. He's going to have his emergency communications gear with him. We'll find out if he has anybody to talk to when he's on the ground, or if he can get some other folks set up with communications, or he can report, you know, outside the area. But really, it's going to be about local communications, getting folks to be able to communicate with each other and coordinate right there in that community. So we'll share those lessons as they come in. If you are interested and you are available in Leland, 45 minutes north of Rolling Fork, you can coordinate through Grindstone Ministries. That's, or go check out the YouTube channel Bear Independent, communicate with them that way and coordinate going in. That's where we have an Ameron core operator going in with them. And I don't know the specific time or date when he's going to be rolling in. And the other one is in Rolling Fork, where we have a group, The Republic Group, on the ground with phone numbers. Email me and I will put you in touch with them. And that is where apparently Cajun Navy is reportedly on the ground and helping with disaster relief. But right now, as of the latest report, it is a disorganized mess with FEMA and the state, and nobody knows who's in charge, and nobody seems to be taking charge. And it's really up to the citizens. The bottom line is you are on your own for at least 72 to 96 hours in a major catastrophic event like this. Even when you get the entire rest of the country unaffected, capable of mobilizing, and the grid, communications, the supply chain is all completely functional. But the folks inside the impacted area, it may as well be a nationwide grid down situation as far as they're concerned, because you're on your own. Be prepared to be on your own for an extended period of time until help can come rolling in. And have communications set up and do that now, because your community could be next. And God help us if this becomes a major regional or nationwide event where there is no help coming, not in 72 hours, not in a week, maybe not even in 4 weeks. Maybe not in 6 months, depending on what the situation is. You have to be self-sufficient. You've got to have communications to coordinate with those in your communities and help each other out. All right, that's all I've got, guys. That was plenty enough for these two segments. You guys have a blessed week, and join us each weekday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific time for the morning commute. Go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com, click on the Listen to RFR tab to find out all the different ways that you can tune in, you can listen, and support us as well. We much appreciate it. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and this is the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.